to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do-do, help a snowman, do. Help a snowman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm in the automobile once again. I just dropped off Poonmaster Flex at the airport because she's going on a vacation. And I am returning from a two-day vacation. Peter was on a vacation far away. Not really, they just looked at his butthole. So the thrilling conclusion to our colonoscopy tale. So when we left you last, if memory serves, I had I'd been drinking the stuff and was trying to get through it before I'd had too many bouts there and whatever. So I drank all the stuff. I drank three quarters that I was supposed to drink, and man, did I have bad stomach cramps. Oh my God, it hurt. I was sitting playing a video game. And then, I kind of was, like, sitting, and it hurt. So I stood and was kind of walking around, and it hurt. So then I was, like, kind of kneeling on the floor. You know how, like, sometimes something just hurts, and you're just like, I don't really know what my body's doing. It just is, like, whatever my body thinks, it's sort of also saying, like, stop doing this. I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong, and just do something. Fix it. Fix it, fix it, fix it. So that's kind of what I was doing. And then had my diarrheas. Had a pretty good amount of diarrhea. I mean, when people describe it as peeing out of the butt, it's pretty accurate. And so then I went to bed at about midnight. And I set an alarm for 3:45 to get up and take the remainder as directed. Which I did. Now, I have to say, the remaining two glasses is where it got tough. Like, real tough. I drank, you know, and it was like two big glasses. I mean, it probably would have been three, but I was like, I don't know if I can put down three glasses. Like, let's just do two. So I drank one, and then waited about 10 minutes, and then drank the other one, and then had some apple juice and went to bed. And some water, too. Because the thing is, 2 hours before I was scheduled, I wasn't to eat or drink anything, you know, including water. So I got up 3 hours before my appointment, did all this, and then went back to bed and was like, well, I'm not going to get up in another hour to, you know, drink some last water or whatever. Fuck it. So I get up at, my appointment was 6:45, and we had to leave at 6 to get there on time. So I got up at 5:30, which was plenty of time to have a nice diarrhea. You know, one last for the road, and then take a shower, and we headed out. I was feeling pretty shitty, you know, and it was hard to separate, like, okay, what of this is because I gave myself terrible diarrhea? What of this is because I basically haven't, you know, I probably had 500 calories yesterday or something like that? And what of this is, like, waking up at 3:45 in the morning and then again at 5:30, right? So sleeping a total of 4 hours on the outside, but, you know, interrupted in the middle by a half hour. All factors that really contribute to being like, I don't know, I just feel like shit, and I just want to get this over with. So we drive down there. And I get admitted and everything, and, you know, we do the insurance dance, which is they're like, oh, well, here's your deductible and da-da-da-da. I know I was bitching about insurance before and, like, whatever, the problems with healthcare, and, like, definitely one of the issues of healthcare is you're sort of like, all right, I pay insurance, but then you also have this deductible, right? And once you meet your deductible for the year, then you're sort of like, then you're good to go. But so it's like a gamble on top of a gamble, because you're like, all right, well, if I'm going to meet my deductible this year, I want to do it in like January, right? Or February. Because anything that else that comes up, you know, I want to do the maximum amount of stuff. Or you're like, I don't know, if I was thinking of having a... Let's put it this way. If I was like, you know, having a colonoscopy, I would want to do it the same year I was having like a knee surgery. Because I'd be like, well, I'm definitely going to meet my deductible. So I might as well do all the other shit, no pun intended, that leads into that, right? So anyway, you know, I have to pay. I have gap insurance, and like every time I've gone somewhere, they act like gap insurance is something they've never heard of before. And so I'm like, I know you've heard of this before. Like, I know you've heard of this and you kind of know what it is. So like, just do it. And I just have to tell them, like, I don't know why I have to tell them this. They're always like, and over the phone, I had this discussion with them three times, which was like, I have insurance and I have gap insurance. And they're like, okay, what insurance is it? And I tell them, and they're like, okay, well, we haven't done that one before, so we're not quite sure. And, you know, just bring the card. And I'm like, all right. So I bring it that day, and I'm telling this lady, and she's like, this is all brand new, but whatever. And you're just like, God, insurance is such a scheme. You know? And they're like, okay, well, it'll either cost $700 or $1,500. That's the range we're giving you. And, you know, it could, of course, go outside that range if something happens. And you're just like, okay, thanks for giving me a range that's an amount and twice as much. You know, a very unaffordable $700 or an extremely unaffordable $1,500. So basically what they do is they demand that you pay the bottom end of that, because they're like, well, it's not going to be less than that. That's the other thing, right? They're like, well, it could be 700, it couldn't be 15. And you know, if I was like, could it also be like 350? And they're like, no. No, that's not going to happen. So I get there and do all the paperwork and stuff, and then they take me back and they're like, all right, take off your clothes except for your socks, and put on this hospital smock, and, you know, get ready to rock. Ooh, that rhymed. That was unintentional, but hey, I'm that kind of guy. They're like, put on this smock, get up on this thing, and don't tie the waist, just tie it at the neck, which I was like, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's kind of where you're headed, right? So I do that, and I get up on there. And it was weird. I thought it was weird that they're like, remove everything but your socks. I was like, well, all right, you could just say everything. I mean, what good is my socks going to do me at this point? And, you know, they do all the normal bullshit. They're like, let's take your temperature and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay. And the first nurse I had was great. You know, she was, like, nice and... She was telling me that, I guess she was like, sorry, things are a little chaotic right now. It's not usually like this. I guess some guy showed up and had done all the prep and stuff, but he was there on the wrong day. Like, he was scheduled for a different day and had shown up and done that. And I was like, that's pretty fucking nice of you guys to, like, squeeze him in. And I was, you know, in my head, I was like, well, yeah, I don't think I would leave. I'd be like, listen, I did that prep. I drank that shit. It was terrible. I'm not leaving till somebody puts something in my ass. Okay? This is never a demand I've made anywhere else, but I will not leave until somebody crams something into my ass. So anyway, they were doing that. And also, so he was in the bay next to me, and I could hear everything. So his wife shows up, like, way later. You know, he's already there, and then his wife shows up. And she's saying, like, I'm sorry, you know, we're doing double duty because my son right now is with our dog who's in getting surgery or something. And she's like, and so I was with them and then came here. And I was like, I know, like, pets are important and stuff, but, like, I mean, you know, your husband would probably appreciate being here for this. I don't know. And definitely needs you as a ride home. I mean, What the fuck? But anyway, and it turned out his name was also Peter, which I was like, oh, great. You know, there's barely any Peters out there. There's not, like, a lot. I mean, it's not hard to think of some famous ones or whatever. But there's, you know, day to day, you don't run into as many Peters as you do, like, John, Mike, whatever. So I was like, what are the odds? So anyway, and they're, like, talking to this guy, and they're like, what did you do for prep? And the wife is like, we were wondering about that because he never got any paperwork or anything that explained how to do this. And I was like, oh, my God, how is that possible? I was telling Poon Master Flex because we're sitting there both listening because, you know, there's nothing to do there. I was like, I'm really bored. And I was like, how the fuck do you not get, you know, I was like, five different people prepped me and asked me about the prep and blah, blah, blah. So that nurse comes in, she's fun. Another nurse comes in, and she was fun, and she's like, I'm going to get your IV started. And she's like, oh, somebody already did it. I was like, yeah, man, I'm ready to fucking rock. She's like, cool. So she takes off, and then the third nurse comes in, and this was like, you know, nurse, no funny business. Because, you know, she's like asking me these questions, like, well, first she's asking me all the questions about, like, do you have any artificial heart valves? And she was, like, really seriously looking at me, and she was like, do you take any drugs? And I was like, no. And she's like, nothing, not even anything over the counter or whatever. And I was like, no. And she's like, what about supplements? And I was like, no, you know what I mean? And I was wondering what they were talking about, but I really don't take any, I take nothing. And it was like, the way she was asking is like, she didn't believe me that I didn't take drugs or supplements or something. And I was like, trust me, when you fucking give me this anesthetic and see how hard I pass out and how immediately, you will not doubt my claim of non-drug use. It's not going to take a lot. So then, and then she said something. Oh, she was like, okay, so when's the last time you ate something? Now, let's keep in mind that I'm on, like, no sleep and no food and stuff. So I start, like, going, well, I got up at 3:45 to, like, drink the rest of the stuff. And then I had some water and some apple juice then. And that was the last. And she's like, okay, so, like, what time? And I was like, I don't know, 3:45. And she's like, was it 3:45 or 4:15? And I was like, let's 4, probably. It didn't take me very long. She's like, okay, and she just writes it down, then she's like, done. And I was just like, okay, you know, excuse me, nurse. So then, you know, we get wheeled into the room, and this one lady is telling the other lady, like, you ready to go, girlfriend? And I was like, I'm as ready as you are, girlfriend. And we had a good laugh. Then they put me in the room, and they're like, and then I meet the doctor for the first time. It's funny because, like, you know, I was complaining before about the way the whole medical system and the referrals and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't even fucking meet this guy until he was moments away from putting a scope in my ass, like, far up my ass. And, you know, and he's just like, okay, I have to inform you about all the, you know, you signed the thing, right, that, like, there are possible complications and da-da-da-da. And I was just like, will you guys just put this tube in my ass already? Like, I get it. There's risks, you know? Yeah, this isn't as safe as not putting a tube in my butt, but it's, like, the best thing we can do, right? This is what needs to be done, and let's just do it, you know? I was like, I get it. Like, I'm not some fucking moron who's thinking, wait a minute, no one told me there was a possibility that something could go wrong. It's like, no shit. Like, any time you get put under, something could go wrong, right? I don't know. You know, everything is for morons. I wish that you could... I can't remember if I said it on here before, if I was talking in real life. This is a problem I have. But I can't remember where I was saying, like, I wish there was just some kind of stamp on my driver's license or something that was like, hey, this dude's cool. Like, you can explain something to him once and give him a paper that tells how to do it. And if he has questions, he will ask you. And otherwise, you're safe to assume that he gets it. You know, you don't have to ask him 10 times. So anyway, you know, they're putting me under. I'm like laying on my side and they'd started giving me the anesthetic and, you know, lady's like, okay, lift your hips up because they're like sliding this mat under me that I assume is like going to catch any, you know, whatever comes out. I assume some comes out. It has to. You know, when the snake is coming out. I didn't really think about this until just now, but you're like, I wonder how they like clean and sterilize that fucking snake. Because I had like a toilet snake. I don't think I ever used it in the toilet, but I used it for a stopped up sink, you know, and there's like black stinky shit coming out. And you gotta be like, and so as I'm like winding it back up, I was like, hey, I should probably clean this up as I wind it up, right? Because like, I don't want this just coiled on itself with this disgusting shit all over it. It's just gonna dirty itself, and then the dirty shit lives in the coil and like in the coiled up coil. So, you know, just give it a wipe. But I'm like, well, I guess they probably have to do a lot more than that for a fucking camera that's going in your butt. But God knows what that is and how it works. And I'm glad I didn't think about it till now. Here's the thing that's weird about me. Like, I'm a worrier, and in life I've always been a worrier. Don't confuse what I'm saying with warrior. Probably kind of the opposite of a warrior is a worrier. And I worry about everything. And that's, like, been the case since I've been a child. But when it comes to stuff like surgery and stuff, I just don't worry about it. And I think it's because I feel like there's, like, nothing at that point. You know, when I'm laying on the table, falling asleep, I'm like, there is literally nothing I can do. Like, there is no way in which I can make this go better or worse. So let's just do it. And, you know, if I wake up in the emergency room, then I guess I'll deal with it then. But, you know, it's kind of the thing you tell worriers all the time, right? You're just like, worrying about it doesn't change anything. It's just now you've worried about it and it happened. Or you worried about it and it didn't happen. But for some reason in a situation like that, it's much easier for me to, like, do that. I worry a lot more about, like, you know, for example, if I'd taken my car in and they're like, well, here's what we think is wrong, but we're going to run this diagnostic test, and it's going to be $700 to $1,500. I'd be all worried about it. But when they're like, we're going to do this to your body and whatever, and I'm like, okay, sounds good. I might just be an idiot. I don't know. So I pass out, and then, you know, they were telling me about the drugs I was having and stuff and said that I would probably have some memory loss. And they were telling Cassie this. The nurse was the cool one because she was like, so, you know, if he asks you the same thing like 4 or 5 times, that's why. And she was like, okay. So then all I remember is I remember vaguely waking up at the hospital place. And, you know, as I woke up, they told me, drum roll, I don't have colon cancer, and everything in my colon was normal, so that's good news. Bad news because I don't know what's going on still, but good news because it's like, well, it's not the worst thing, right? I'm not dying. So that's good. Pretty good. You know, I'm not dying that way. That would probably be one of the worst ways to die. And then I woke up, and I remember them showing me there were, like, these 4 pictures of my colon. And, of course, like, everything. You know what I mean? Your colon just looks like nothing, really. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like anything that you would ever recognize. And, obviously, I have no experience, and I can't look at my colon and be like, oh, good, you know, I can see that the mucosal whatever is fully intact or something. You know, I have no idea, like, what, I don't know what a healthy or unhealthy colon looks like at all. But, you know, they show me the pictures, I guess, because it's like pics or it didn't happen. And I was looking at the pictures, and it was Mysterious Nurse, and I guess I made the joke of, I only kind of remember, but I was like, oh, this is too bad that I'm just now getting these pictures because Mother's Day was yesterday and that would have been a nice gift for my mom. And I don't remember any reaction to it, but Cassie was like, Nurse Sirius was not amused by that. not unamused. It just, you know, it was like you hadn't said anything. And I was like, eh, that fits. And, you know, since then, she's like, I told my dad you said that. And I told some other people and they thought it was pretty funny. So I was like, okay. So I wasn't just crazy. I remember they put me in a wheelchair to go outside, which I didn't. I was like, I don't remember how I got my clothes on. I mean, kind of, but not really. I don't remember a lot. But, you know, they're putting me in this wheelchair, and I remember my feet kept getting caught in the wheel, and she's like, you got to put your feet up on the pedals there. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Then Poonmaster Flex drove me home, and I was pretty much just falling asleep the whole way, like nodding off, and then, you know, my head's whipping back up. And I guess the only thing I asked her or really said on the way home, and I have no memory of this, was I kind of woke up and was like, is there such a color as neon gray? And then that was it. Now, as we all know, like, gray is basically the only color I wear. So I guess that's why I was asking. I don't know. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to any of this, right? And so it's much better than things I could have said. I was thinking, like, there needs to be a service of responsible adults who just pick you up from these things. Because I was like, okay, like, I know Poonmaster Flex wants to do this and whatever. But I was like, what if I say something crazy? Like, what if I call her by, like, an ex's name or something like that? You know, and I'm like, listen, I'm out of my mind. I don't know what's going on. And I wouldn't have any memory of it. So I couldn't even explain why I did it. But I was like, what if you did that? Like, it seems like you should try and avoid that. So maybe there should be, like, a neutral, responsible adult or something. Anywho. So then I got home, and we'd stopped at Pantera to get a couple sandwiches for me. And I got two breakfast sandwiches, right? Bacon and steak with egg. These two separate. And so I get these sandwiches, and all I really remember is I'm, like, in bed eating one of these sandwiches and thinking it's so delicious. So my thought process was, like, well, this must be the steak because it tastes so good, right? And, like, only steak, the king of foods, could taste this good. So then, and I just have, like, it must have looked so pathetic because it's me in bed and I'm just laying there with this, like, bag of food. And then I pass out with the bag of food in the bed with me. Wake up a few hours later, and I'm like, I guess I'll eat this other sandwich. So I get up, I go to get a glass of water, because, like, I should probably have some water at this point, and left it on the counter and got back in the bed. Like, I filled it, put it on the counter, and just left it there. So then I was like, all right, well, I guess that's not meant to be. And I ate this other sandwich completely dry. And much to my dismay, found, like, as I was eating, I was like, oh, that is definitely the steak sandwich. I don't know what's going on. And then I just pretty much slept the whole day. And, like, I had no, you know, no ill effects or anything after. Like, here's the thing. What everybody says about this is 100% true. What everyone says about this is that the prep is the worst part. And that is completely accurate. The prep is by far the worst part. Like, the prep sucks balls. It hurts your stomach. You're just like, I mean, you're basically devoting an entire day. Oh, my God. I went so far out of my way on this route to avoid road work and just turned onto a road of horrible road work. Hey, it's summer. Isn't everyone excited? There's, like, always those things that I think everyone forgets about. You know, they're like, oh, the summer's so great. The days are so long and it's so nice out. And I'm like, it's hot. There's a billion bugs and everywhere is road work. The whole world becomes like road work. This is something that I think I would not, you know, if I was in a post-apocalyptic scenario and trying to find the bright side, I'd be like, well, on the plus, you know, no more road work. So, yeah, I mean, I had no, like, ill effects. I mean, I think I was really tired, but I think that mostly had to do with just, you know, if you had that much diarrhea in a day, and then also if you'd gotten up at 3:45 in the morning to have some diarrhea on purpose, and then got up at 5 and went and did a thing, like, I don't know. And then the drugs, obviously. That is my drug. Whatever they use, Versed or something like that, that is my drug, man. That shit works on me, and I feel great. I was telling Poonmaster Flex, like, I wish I could do that every day. And then I was like, not every day, but, like, every Saturday. Just take that, pass out, and then that would be my life. And she was like, that is scary and makes you sound like an addict or whatever. And I was like, eh, you know? So be it. I don't know if I have anything else to say about it other than that's what happened. So, in conclusion, I do not have... Oh, I did have one other thing. As I was doing this, I was looking through the paperwork. And in the paperwork, it was talking about, you know, my preparation and stuff like that. And it was like, patron was well prepped. And I was like, thank you. And it was also like, patient was very, handled the procedure well or something like that, you know, which I had nothing to do with, but was like, look at me, man. Just some acknowledgement. That's all I wanted. A little gold star. I mean, if you're someone who does colonoscopies and you're listening, put a little gold star on there for people who do a good job. Because it's not fun, which I know you know, but, like, I don't know. And do I have any tips if you're going to go through this? Here's my, the biggest part is this. Like, if you're worried about the actual part where the stuff goes in your ass or something like that, don't worry about that. Like, that is not bad at all. I was completely asleep, so I don't know. But, like, I know they do Twilight ones and stuff, and it's really not bad. Like, it's not... The prep part is the part that sucks, and once you get through that, you're good to go. What would I say other than that? I mean, I would say just do it, because the worst thing I can imagine is doing it and then, you know, doing 3/4 of it or something, and then it's not... It doesn't work, you know, and having to start over again, that's what you want to avoid. Oh, I think I forgot to mention, too, that the fucking pharmacist... No, I didn't. I said that. You don't want to do it twice. Like, once you're 3/4 through the juice that you drink, the diarrhea madness juice, it's very tempting, you know, and you get up at 3:45 and you're just like, I'm pretty tempted to not finish this. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I sure have diarrhea a lot, and maybe this would work fine. Just do it, man. You gotta. Because the last thing you want to do is start from scratch. Like, that is the ultimate worst way to go. So that's one piece of advice. I mean, I don't know. I guess... I don't know if there's anything to say as far as, like, oh, here's how you make drinking the juice not terrible. I think that's just going to be terrible. So I think my advice on that would be, like, don't worry about not making it terrible. Just, like, just consider it a test of your own will. You know what I mean? Just be like, I'm going to have to gut it out and just gut it out. You know? And just be like, this is where we separate the men from the boys, as it were. And just accept that that's what it is and go with that, go with God or whatever. I think that's kind of what you have to do. So that's sort of my story, I suppose. What does this mean for the future? Who knows? You know, it means I probably won't be dead. That means I'll probably have more butt stuff to talk about on here, so that's not coming to an end. Just in case you were worried that I was going to stop talking about butt stuff on this show. You know, I would say don't worry about that. I mean, without butt stuff, there is no show here. Butt stuff is the show. I just saw a bumper sticker that said, werewolves are people too. And I was like, I think by definition, no, right? Isn't that the whole point of a werewolf, is it's not a person? Dumb. Sometimes these clever things, you know, really get on my nerves. I saw a shirt today, and it was like the Colorado flag or a version of it, and it said, keep calm and Colorado on. And I was like, okay, that doesn't make sense, because Colorado is not a verb. And if I was Coloradoing on, what is that? What am I doing? You know what I mean? I don't even know what that means. To Colorado on. How does one Colorado on? I'm sure people have their own idea of it, but to me, I'm just like, just, that's dumb. Enough with the keep calm and something on. Okay? Enough. It's weird to me that we've sort of like adopted that for so much stuff, because it's like, you know, this was sort of the directive given to people who were like in wartime conditions being bombed, right? And we're using this to be like, keep calm and library on, and you're just like, no, let's not co-opt this thing that we have nothing to do with. I can hear what I think is my brakes rubbing in my car. I just had my brakes replaced not that long ago. And I'm very concerned that they didn't do correctly. Anywho, keep calm and fuck off. I don't know. Don't keep calm. Panic. It's like, they probably could have panicked a little. I mean, they're being bombed. It should have been, I think, maybe like, keep outwardly calm. You know what I mean? Don't let anyone know you're not calm, but if you're completely fucking panicked inside, that's probably, you're probably in the right. I mean, I can't really ask you to feel nothing about the fact that a bomb is about to explode right next to you. Let's see. Okay, so I did, as a result of this colonoscopy, add an idea to my eccentric millionaire ideas, for which I got a new notebook that's a little bit more official looking, and I'm excited to share. So the idea, obviously, was to invent the color neon gray. So that's an excitement that I've added to the world. I felt like at first, you know, well, I just want it to exist and whatever. And then I was like, you know what? A good eccentric millionaire thing to do would be like, I'm going to invent a new color. Because I feel like that's something that no one's really doing. And that should be done, right? So that's added. I did add another one the other day. So Poonmaster Flex is going on a cruise with her mom. And we were kind of talking about, like, the appeal of a cruise. Because, like, she was like, I think you'd go crazy on a cruise because you'd be so bored. And I was like, I don't know, I think I'd be all right with it, because I think if I were to go on a cruise, I would be like, well, they have like a jogging track. They probably have like a workout room. And I was like, I don't know, I could just kind of like live my normal life, but then without, you know, I don't have to make food for myself. I don't have to, whatever. I can sleep in. I don't have to go to work. And then, you know, you have these excursions. So you're like, I don't know, every couple days I'm doing something, getting on a jet ski or whatever. And so part of what we came up with, though, is like part of the appeal of a cruise, right, is that when you're on a cruise, it's a little bit like being on vacation as a child. And what I mean is that, if you ever went on vacation when you were young, and not like five, but I mean like, I did this at the perfect time of life. It just sort of worked out. I went on a trip, like a running trip with my cross country team when I was 18. And we went to Disney World and ran a race and just, you know, fucked around and went to the beach and all that shit. And what was great about it is that, you know, I was 18, so I was old enough to enjoy the fact that I wasn't having to, like, do any of the planning. And it was basically just like you're being shuttled around. You know what I mean? You don't have to think. And so I think like part of the appeal of a cruise, right, is that you're like, yeah, I mean, I don't have to decide what I'm doing here. I can just kind of like make my own way on this cruise. I can't tell if I've got like an acceleration lane here or what. I mean, I kind of think I do, but I don't know. So I think it's that you get to make your own decisions. You don't have to make your own decisions. And I know to some people that sounds asinine. Because you're like, why would you not want to have your own decisions on a vacation? But I'll tell you, as someone who, like, vacations frequently, you're sort of like, there's a lot of things in it that would be nice if you didn't have to do. Like, you go on vacation, and in some ways it's just as stressful as regular life, because you're like, all right, well, I got to get to the airport, you know, so I'm getting up early and going to the airport. I got to figure out what I'm going to eat so I don't spend $40 on shitty airport food. I got to do this, I got to do that. Then you get where you're going, and you're like, all right, I have to figure out how I'm getting to the hotel. And, like, when you're young, you're like, none of this is my concern. Like, I'm just sitting around at the airport while so-and-so is running the car. And I'm just sitting around while they're driving and trying to figure out how to get where we're supposed to be. You know, all this stuff is happening, and you're reaping all the benefit of it, but you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to plan it. You don't have to figure it out. You're not responsible for anything. So it's kind of an amazing thing. And I was like, I think that's probably a little bit recreated in a cruise, right? Because you're like, okay, I don't have to make all the decisions here. Like, I don't have to make a daily decision about where to eat. I don't have to make a daily decision about what we're doing. Like, we kind of already made those decisions before we left. And now we're on this cruise, and there we are. So the idea I came up with, this eccentric millionaire idea, is what I call the cruise hotel. I was going to see if cruisinusa.com is available, or if, you know, perhaps that's Laps. I don't know if that game franchise is still a thing or not. But anyway, here's how it works. It's basically a hotel you stay in, but it works like a cruise instead of a hotel. So you don't just stay there whenever. You book a cruise. And so you book a, like, one-week block at the hotel. And during that block, you know, the hotel has shit going on, right? So maybe, like, 1 week it's, you know, an elder cruise and it's all old people there. And it's shit old people would want to do. You know, and you've got your theme cruises, right? Like your Weezer cruise, where you're like, oh, we go, we hear fucking Weezer, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, so then you have your Weezer cruise, but you just do it at the hotel. So it's like, yeah, there's like 3 Weezer shows, there's other music that you'd like. There's entertainment and all that shit. Now then, you also have, like, the other cruise amenities, right? You make sure you have, like, a nice workout room. You have a nice pool. You have nice this, nice that. And then you do, like, excursions into the city. And during these excursions, you know, you basically get on, like, a bus or a van or whatever. You go out somewhere. They take you somewhere. You hang out for a couple hours, and then you come back. And, you know, again, it's like the whole appeal of it is like you don't have to plan shit. Like once you get to the fucking cruise hotel, everything is taken care of. Everything is worked out. All the details are worked out. You just come and you relax and you're good to go. Anyway, I don't know. I think that's like a potential moneymaker. And here's what's great about it, too, is like if you did it in the city, you know, like let's say you did it in Denver. People show up and they're in the hotel, and then of course, like, if they want to leave, they can. And then you could have different dinners catered by different great restaurants in the city on different nights. You know, like, here's barbecue night, here's fucking hot dog night. And you know, if you're out doing an excursion, quote unquote, and you want to do, you know, it's like, oh, we have a weed excursion, so you go out and get some fucking marijuana and then do whatever. If you were like, I want to stay out longer, great. You do, and you're just like, okay, well, then you're going to have to cab it or Uber or whatever and get back to the hotel, the ship. But other than that, it's cool. I don't know. I think this is a good scheme. A good money-making scheme here. If a cruise ship can make money by doing this, I don't see why they couldn't make money doing it on land. It seems like it would be easier on land than it is on a ship. Because, you know, it's like, well, it's the same thing, except you don't have to drive around. You're not driving a whole ship. You're not keeping track of all these fucking people. All that. I don't know. I think it could be pretty cool. So that's my other eccentric millionaire idea that I came up with recently. So that's good news, huh? I started compiling a list of audiobooks to listen to because I'm going to start marathon training in July to run Rock and Roll Marathon in November, right near my birthday when I'll be 3-4. So if anyone's got any great recommendations, now let me tell you what I do and don't like, because then you don't have to waste your time. When it comes to audiobooks, I don't generally listen to a lot of fiction. The reason being, I think I just find reading fiction to be a more compelling experience. However, I did enjoy a few fiction books on audio, like World War Z, I liked. Robopocalypse, I liked. The Running Man, I liked. Thinner was okay. You know, so it's got to be pretty high interest, action oriented if it's going to be fiction. I don't want any literary fiction on audiobook or a classic. God help you if you suggest a classic on audiobook. You know, I'm trying to reduce my boredom while running for like 3 hours. Not get work done. Not be like, oh, look at all I've accomplished. So there you go. I like nonfiction, but, you know, again, it's got to be pretty pretty compelling, I guess, is the thing. I also like if there's a great narrator. I did listen to some Cormac McCarthy books, which kind of breaks my normal rule, but the narrator was awesome. So if there's an awesome narrator, great. I tend to not like an audio as much as I like reading, and I don't know if I'll even read any more of these, is sort of the, how do I put this, like the sassy, successful lady memoir. I just feel like I read Tina Fey's book, I read Mindy Kaling's first book, I've read a few of these and feel like I've just had my fill. I didn't read Amy Poehler's book, and I've heard it's good, although it was weird. Like, it seemed like Mindy Kaling, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, a couple other people kind of all wrote their memoir-ish book at the same time. I mean, here's part of the thing, too. I don't like comedian memoirs. Like, almost across the board. I don't know. I've been thinking about Norm Macdonald's because I know nothing about him, so maybe. But I just feel like every comedian memoir I read is sort of like their act in longer form, which I'm like, oh, you know what would be really good is to, you have this comedy act you've been working on for like 15 or 20 years. If you could take that and add a lot of filler, that would be great. I mean, who is asking for that, and why, and what have you done? Like, why would you do this to me? Ask for this. And, you know, I wish comedians, when they wrote their books, would be like, hey, if nothing significant happened at the beginning, feel free to not start at the beginning. Or, you know, feel free to not start at, I got off stage and I got some laughs, but it wasn't always like this. You know, I grew up in a small part of blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, okay. I mean, if your story is basically like, I had a childhood that was like not awesome, but not ridiculously bad. And, you know, even if your story is about your childhood was ridiculously bad, I mean, if it's not interesting. Here's what I gotta say. Here's something I thought was weird about Tina Fey's book. I mean, it was a very brief So apparently what happened to her is a man she didn't know when she was a child, like she was in her front yard and a guy just kind of came up and started cutting her face with a knife. And that's why she has scars on her face. And like the section about this was very brief and whatever. And like maybe she doesn't want to talk about it. But I was just like, I mean, for some people, that would be their entire memoir. It would be like, memoirs of a girl who got cut on the face by a strange man for no apparent reason. You know what I mean? And so, I don't think it's the most interesting thing about Tina Fey, but I do think it's probably interesting enough to warrant a little bit more action in the book. Or like, there's a lot of interesting things about Tina Fey, but she's definitely talked about a lot of them or expressed a lot of them through her, like, comedy writing and stuff. And this seems to be, like, something she doesn't talk about, which is, like, everybody's got the right to put whatever in their memoir or not. And I've always said that. And I've also always said, like, but look, if you're going to put it in there, put it in there. Like, really tell me about it. And if you're not going to put it in there, don't put it in there. Like, don't tell me anything about it. If you're like, I don't want to talk about my scarred face, just don't even mention it. Because what am I going to do? Be pissed off at Tina Fey because it's like she didn't mention her scarred face? And then I look up the story and be like, oh, well, she probably doesn't want to talk about it. And I can see why. The end. Anyway, so I'm not real big on, like, comedic memoirs with some, you know, rare exceptions. You know, your David Sedaris and whatever. They just aren't very good most of the time. I think they could use a ghostwriter, to be honest. Like, somebody needs to get out there and start ghostwriting these comedian memoirs. And more importantly, ghost editing. And maybe that means adding ghosts into them to make it a more interesting story. Because they need something. They need a little something to punch it up a little bit here. If you're asking one man's opinion. So anyway, with those overly specific and strict things in mind, if you've got any suggestions for me, I'll take them. I would also take some podcast suggestions, but you know, that's even worse, really. Like, I'm going to try some new shows, because it might be a good chance to get acquainted with some new shows, but if you're going to suggest something to me, it's probably got to be fairly obscure. Like, if it's part of a podcast network, or it's from NPR, I guarantee you that I know about it. Also, I don't really listen to anything that's like improvised or scripted comedy. Like, the only comedy I seem to enjoy via podcasting is unscripted, just chit-chat. I don't know why. I don't know why scripted comedy just doesn't work for me in that format, but man, it just doesn't. It just doesn't quite wet my whistle for whatever reason. It doesn't, why is everything about that stuff gross? Wet my whistle. I mean, that's a blowjob term, right? Wet my whistle. Or like, up my alley. I don't know exactly the origin of up my alley, but man, does it just sound like, you know, in my vagina or butt. You know, or like, my penis went up her alley. And take that for what... You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds dirtier than it needs to. Couldn't there just be something that's like, oh, it just doesn't grow my grass, you know what I mean? Or like, it just doesn't... it just doesn't heat my oatmeal. Maybe it's like the structure of saying that just turns anything gross. Because when I was just saying heat my oatmeal, that sounded disgusting to me. Like, you know, improvised comedy podcasts really just don't heat my oatmeal. And you're like, heat my oatmeal? Like, what the fuck? Really doesn't tie down the load on my tow truck. Doesn't, I don't know. Doesn't floss my teeth. I don't know. These are hard to come up with. I liked heat my oatmeal until I said it out loud, and then I was like, ah, fuck. Disgusting. You would disgust me, Peter. So if you've got any podcasts outside of those sort of those realms, do not tell me Serial or S-Town or anything like that. I'll lose my shit. I'll lose my S-Town on you. That really doesn't S my town. That's probably most of what's going on in the big bad world of Pete. So, good news, we survived. We survived the colonoscopy. I do not have colon cancer. So, I guess get excited about that. I mean, got a few more years of this to look forward to. Also, I'm not sick anymore, so that's pretty exciting. It's a good life. I'm having a good life so far, so I hope you are too. And I hope you continue having a good life. Right? Awkward sign off.
You're not gonna say it. Somebody should talk about too.